Richard Pascoe, our tech guy, joins us. And Richard, with the shares going down in Apple, we're hearing stories of the demise of Apple. I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
Sunrise this morning, if you don't mind me quoting them, you know, we're basically talking about Apple's demise. Can we just point out to people, Apple won't run out of money in the next 30 years. They've got enough money left.
Well, how do they get stories like that, Richard?
Oh, because they've gone down in shares this year. And, as you know, I think it's probably poor reporting in the case, but in some cases, they're not going to sell as many iPhones probably this year, but nobody will ever know now, because Apple used to be one of the few companies that came out and said, we have sold 41 million iPhones in the last 3 months. Now, to go along and ask the other companies, does that happen? They don't ever report sales figures.
Ah.
So what Apple did was they've come along and joined the other companies now and gone, you know what, we're not going to report sales figures anymore. But what they do come out and say is, you know, China is a hard market, India is a hard market, and their shares have plummeted on those stories. It's just, and they're saying, oh, it's not innovative anymore, and it's not the same since Steve Jobs left. All of these reports out there, but, you know, I find that sort of reporting amazing. It's like saying Samsung will go broke tomorrow as well. Neither of these companies are going broke.
No, well,
you've got to say they're
You shouldn't be saying demise. I mean, a demise of a company means it goes broke, basically, and Apple ain't going broke.
Oh, no. Apple will be around long after you and I have long gone, Paul.
That's right. And also, it's interesting, I was talking to the listeners earlier about the fact that Apple are joining Google and even Facebook, would you believe, in taking on Netflix. Netflix have had they've been the juggernaut as far as TV programs are concerned. But now Apple, Facebook, Google are all saying, hang on a second, we could do what Netflix are doing, and they're going to be producing programs, which is really interesting, and taking Netflix on.
I think it's very interesting, and it's good for all of us.
Absolutely.
It really is. You know, the more things we have out there, it'll bring the price down for everybody, gives everybody more content, keeps everybody on their toes as well.
Yep.
And I've got to say, especially traditional TV. Now, you and I have talked about this before, but I think one of the problems with traditional TV is the traditional TV stations think it is their right for people to watch them. But there is a growing, breed of people out there who just don't watch traditional TV at all.
That's right.
They really don't. I met some the other week, and you know, all they wanted was, can you get my Wi-Fi fixed so we can get Netflix back? And I said, do you ever watch any of the other? No, never. They said, we can't remember the last 2 years watching any of the traditional TV stations at all.
No, that's right. And of course, the TV stations also are their own worst enemy, because what they did was they ended up with, and I'll just give an example, not necessarily honing in on them, but just an example, say 7-2, for example, or 7-Mate, and they splinter their own audience. And of course, they ended up doing all of these different channels, and what happened was it splintered. And so traditional television now is on the way, I think, in the next, probably traditional television in the next decade, is going the way of the dodo.
I totally agree with you, Paul, unless they change. I mean, you know, we'd like to see every channel on high definition for a start.
Exactly.
Standard definition.
And can I tell you, Channel 7 is not on high definition.
Yeah, spot on, Paul. Yeah, it's not. So, you know, people will look for that sort of thing. Because if you go out and you buy, let's say, and I've got to say, some great prices on TVs at the moment. We're going way off topic here, but a couple of brands that I think listeners should look out for are TCL and Hisense. Two brands coming out of China making great televisions. Got to say that can save thousands of dollars. I saw a TCL 55-inch 4K TV the other day for $695.
Wow. That is pretty good value.
Very, very good price. So, you know, you go out, you buy your 4K TV, you take it home and you turn on, you know, Channel 7 or, you know, one of those, and you go, it doesn't look that good.
No.
It won't look that good. So, you know, TV channels have really got to lift their game if they want to compete with all the things that are coming, that are here now and are coming.
Yeah, they're looking, and honestly, you know, I'm not just picking on Channel 7, but I know this because I used to work for them, and I know the cameramen are incredibly frustrated, particularly the cameramen who work in the news departments and on those special programs. They, you know, work their butt off to get beautiful pictures and then bring it back and it's dumbed down to standard definition. And of course they're saying, but hang on, you know, because the TV stations that don't go to full high def don't want to spend the money on new cameras. They don't want to spend the money on new technology to push that out. And I think really, quite frankly, the federal government should make them do it. They're saying, well, look, we've got high definition in this country. The consumer expects that. The ACCC should say to the stations, you've got to do it. You've got to go to high definition when we're selling television sets that are 4K high def.
Spot on, Paul. You know, I could not have said that better myself.
Thank you. Well, let's get on to the subjects. But all of that subjects is really about what we talk about each week. And I think the listeners appreciate it. Don't leave your smartphone in the car on a hot day. That's good advice. And I was recently at a place here in Port Douglas. That's a wildlife habitat. I was watching the crocodile feeding and I was out in the open sun. And it ended up my phone said, you know, I'm not operating because it's just too hot. So leaving your car or leaving your phone in a car on a hot day is not a good thing for the phone and not good for you because you won't get any reception.
Exactly right. So what happens is that when we've got those really hot days, that inside the side of your phone suddenly it starts to heat up, and it really does. And the phone knows it's getting far too hot. So what happens is it starts to slow the phone down as well, because it doesn't want it to get even hotter. And in the end, you got the warning appearing on there as well, and it won't let you use the device until you've cooled it down. So you've got to be very, very careful about these things, and you've got to wait for a while until you and the phone are cool again before you try and turn it on or get it to work again. What you're basically doing, Paul, is you're cooking the electronics inside your phone. So a lot of people go along, and I've seen it where they've left phones in the car and it gets like, and they all the windows go up and it cooks inside that car. In extreme cases, Paul, it can end up destroying the phone. Mm. It will literally bake the handset. So what makes it even worse is sometimes, Paul, you've got a case or a cover on there as well. Now, that actually traps heat inside that phone as well.
Ah.
So what do you do? The best thing of all is if you get that warning, take the case off the phone, get you and your phone into some cool climate, like an air conditioned place. Sit down. Don't try and turn the phone on. Let it cool down. Give it a good half an hour to an hour to cool right down. You really need to do that. Don't stick it in the fridge, as I had somebody trying to.
I did. I put my phone in the fridge, not in the freezer. I just put it in the fridge to cool it down.
Yeah, got to say, not a great idea, Paul.
Why?
Because what happens is, you know, with cameras, Paul, and you've been in humid climates and you go out of hot into cool,
right?
What happens? You get condensation, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So what basically happens is, we've got to keep our fingers crossed for you, is that you get condensation inside the phone, water damage.
Ooh.
So you've got to be very, very careful about doing that. So cool them down naturally as well. So that's what I'm saying. Don't put them in the fridge. Don't ever put them in the freezer at all. So get it out of sunlight, because, you know, it can do such damage to your phone that it cannot be repaired.
There you go. We're talking with our tech guy, Richard Pascoe, this morning, as we do on a Friday morning, every Friday morning at 9 a.m. Now, talking about your phone and putting it in places, don't put your phone ever in your back pocket.
No. Now, that might sound quite simple, doesn't it? But what happens is we get people put their phones in their back pocket, sit on their phone and bend their phone and crush it and break the phone. Now, in extreme cases too, let's say you're a bit overweight and you go along and you sit on, you've got one of the new, let's say, iPhone XS Maxes, one of the big ones. You slip it in your back pocket and you're sitting on your phone and you might be a bit overweight. You can actually bend the phone to a degree that the lithium-ion battery inside it will explode and will set your bum on fire.
Are you serious?
I am very serious about this. It has happened to people around the world. And the common factor is it's in their back pocket. They might be a tiny bit overweight. I'm being very kind here, Paul. But what happens is they go along. Now, batteries, as we discussed before, are sensitive to overheating. Your bum, nice and warm. Not yours, Paul. I've never felt yours.
And you never will.
There we go. That's very good, Paul. So it exerts pressure on it, and it's not good for the battery. So, you know, don't put your phone in your back pocket. Put it in your front pocket, Paul. Most phones can fit in your front pocket. And they've actually done studies on this. 40% of women's front pockets can fit an iPhone 10. 100% of men's front pockets can. And then 20% for the Samsung Galaxies and 5% for the Google Pixels. But normally they will all fit in your pocket, not your back pocket, Paul.
Now, I have a mate here in Port Douglas who's looking for fans out of the computers. Now, do the modern computers have fans, or you've got to get the old ones? Because he's looking for spare parts to use it on some other project. He wants the fans. Are they only available in the older ones?
No. Any desktop that's built at the moment, all have fans in them. Your mate really should just go on eBay, because he can probably get 100 sent to him for about $5 out of China.
Is that right?
They're very, very easy to get on there, because obviously he doesn't want the really wonderful fans. Some fans you can get nowadays have got lights in them and all sorts.
No.
But yeah, he could pick them off of eBay. But the old tower computer, not a problem at all. They've got fans in them.
Okay. And what about if you have an older computer with a spinning hard drive? Do we have problems there?
Look, we do when there's power failures. So in electrical storms and, up there, you do get the cyclones and everything, and I'm sure. Does the power ever go out in Port Douglas, Paul?
Hello. Of course it does. As a matter of fact, we were only up here 1 week and the power went out here, down here at Choo Choo's at the railway station. We had the power go out. So, yes, it does go out.
And exactly like here in Adelaide, the power goes out on several occasions a year. If you've got an older computer with a spinning hard drive in there and it looks like the power's going to go out, you're in an electrical storm or something, can I get you just to turn the computer off?
Right.
If you're working at it and it's got one of the spinning hard drives in there, not a solid state drive, you can actually do great damage to the hard drive. So what happens is, because there's moving parts inside it, and literally you can imagine it's like a piece of steel goes across another piece of steel, carves into the hard drive, can do massive damage to it. So if it looks like the power's going to go off, get off the older computer, turn it right off until the idea of a power failure is well and truly gone.
Sounds like really, really good advice. Now, a couple of tech stories that caught your eye this week. They are?
A homework app has been developed in China that actually solves problems for students with the snap of a photo. Now, it's actually worth now $3 billion. So you remember the old days, Paul, when you and I went to school and we'd have a mathematical problem in front of us?
Yes.
And we'd look at it and we'd solve it. Now, what kids in China seem to be doing now is, if they subscribe to this company, is they take a photo of it on their smartphone and it solves the problem for them.
Oh, no.
This is going right the way up to university level. So I'm very concerned about this sort of thing where anybody can get a qualification by taking a photo on their smartphone. I don't think it's a great idea at all. It would basically mean that people would be in qualifications who weren't really capable of solving the problem in the first place.
Absolutely. And that's I guess that's also a problem if they're involved in an industry that depends on saving lives, for example.
It's spot on. Now, this company offers live courses, practice exam questions, but it's that homework app that solves questions with the snap of a photo that's meant this company is doing some big things over there. And I think it's a thing that we have to be aware of in this country here, with overseas students coming here with qualifications to me that they haven't really got.
No, that's interesting stuff. Of course, in our day, it was reading, writing, arithmetic. And, nowadays, most kids use a calculator, whereas you and I have a calculator in our brain. And I would use that almost on a daily basis, the old times table, wouldn't you?
Exactly right, Paul. When you and I went to school, it was the abacus.
That's right. It was fantastic. Our neighbour actually parted the Red Sea. You know that?
Exactly right.
Yeah, Mr. Moses, he was a fantastic bloke. Now, Chinese schools keep tabs on kids with intelligent uniforms?
I thought this was a cracker of a story. So there are 10 schools trialling this in China. So what they've done is they've made it to improve attendance and safety. So they give the kids a uniform, and it's actually got two computer chips in it that indicate when a student is entering or exiting school grounds, and it sends that data to both the parents and the teachers.
Ah.
And what happens is if the kids go along and try and leave without permission, an automatic voice alarm starts, makes it clear that they're a truant and they're leaving the school premises at the wrong time.
Number 18, so, you know, Seinfeld.
So I thought it was an amazing story. I don't think it will catch on here because of the privacy people around here.
Oh, no,
now
they also
can't play hooky by swapping uniforms either, because every uniform is linked to a given child's face, and facial recognition at the school entrance will actually raise an alert if there is a mismatch. Great uniform, though. They survive 500 washing cycles, and you can't cook them either because they survive temperatures upwards of 150 degrees. Got to say, what sort of schools are we sending kids to where the temperature's 150 degrees?
That's right. Only in China.
In China. So it's a bit, so, you know, it's a bit of a privacy nightmare. Attendance rates have improved. I would have said that would have been a given, got to say that. But, you know, I just think it's something that maybe we might look at if some of the privacy people go away. So, yeah, keep track of the kids.
Yeah.
Give them a uniform that says we know where they are.
It could not happen in Australia, mate, because, you know, they do this in Australia and the kids go get stuffed. That's it. Over in China, of course, you know, they pay attention to the government and it's all respectful to the government and all of that. So I don't think there'd be any. And by the way, who'd want to be a truant in a Chinese school? Would you be game enough? I wouldn't.
I would, to escape a temperature of 150 degrees, Paul, let me tell you.
True. All right, mate. Well, listen, your website before you go.
Head over to talktech.com.au.
Richard Pascoe, as usual, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure and a laugh. Thank you, mate.
All right, thanks, Paul.